Aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadikara, guten tag, ciao, weezy, vodka, tang, apate, dai, tenendra, salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan, peace out, go vegan. From the left coast to the unlabeled, genetically mutated, infected pharmaceutical, vivisection, prison, military, industrial, corporation. And if he's covered post-constitutional bankrupt or apocrypha, democracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Well, if it sounds like I'm coming to you today on, you know, on a telephone, it's probably because I'm coming to you today on a telephone from a dog-friendly motel in Anaheim, California. It's my favorite weekend of the year. Not only is daylight savings time back, ending the depression that early darkness brings, but it is the weekend when I have a legitimate excuse for my binge-eating rehab counselor. It's the Natural Products Expo. So much temptation. I just, what can I do? I can't resist. I must give in. So much temptation. So little time. It was really my intention to be, about 15 pounds in the other direction by now. By the time it was time for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which starts, a week from Friday already? Oh, March 20th, 21st, 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. Yeah, it's, was hoping for 15 pounds in the other direction. I wish. Okay, now I'll have to resort to slimming black clothing with thin vertical stripes. Holding my breath and working with the lighting director, and all because I forgot that the temptations of the Natural Products Expo would come between me and the World Vegan Summit. And this year it's all more complicated by my discovery of vegan pizza, a vegan pizza parlor. Practically walking distance from the Anaheim Convention Center. And if this isn't some of the best pizza in the world anywhere, then it's got to be tied with it, And I'm not talking about the pizza that doesn't count. It's not really food. It's covered with sliced up animal cadaver and cow mammary secretions. Yeah, that doesn't count in the comparison, of course. It's just so full of pus, covered with white blood cells. Pus, it's like, have a slice of pasta, not pizza. So this pizza here, vegan pizza, Garden Grove on Chapman, gotta be best in the world. Maybe Cruisers in LA is up there also, anyway, it's fantastic. I highly recommend the ultimate vegetable pizza. Seriously, one of the best in the world. I don't know what to compare with this that could be better. And I'm from New York City. I used to have pizza every day, practically every day, coming home from school. Slice of pizza for 15 cents and a Coke in that paper, and that paper cone cup for 10 cents, 25 cents, a slice of pizza and a cup. Anyway, it's pretty amazing pizza here, and I'm addicted to that as well as what's going on at the Natural Products Expo. But anyway, if you are in Orange County, you're very lucky to have vegan pizza. Vegan pizza delivers also. You're lucky if you're in the LA area with cruisers too. So, but all I can say is this is the real food. You know, this is like great pizza, everything else. Pasta. I'm another slice of pasta. Okay? Forgive me. I am not responsible for anything I may say today. I don't know. Whatever I say will be the side effects of a combination of ingredients never before consumed by a human being in quantities. I feel like the Joey Chestnut of vegan eating contests. You know, that's what this Natural Products Expo makes me. I come over here. Joey Chestnut is the, that guy who wins the Nathan's hot dog eating contest every year. So, you know, there's a countdown, like, what year will it be where Joey Chestnut will not be able to return? This guy is a nut. His chest, you know, will be opened at some time soon with remnants of the hot dogs. Anyway, so, and he's eating, you know, that's so one-dimensional. He just stuffs a bunch of, you know, animal cadaver into his mouth, and I don't know, kind of sickening. That's kind of a dead promotion, right? But I, on the other hand, the human experiment, I was consuming everything from vegan ice cream, which is so totally delicious. I mean, nobody can complain. Those people who are making the transition over from eating foods made of animal ingredients, animal bodies, animal secretions, there's no excuse when it comes to ice cream, taste, flavor. Some of the coconut ice creams that I've had here are amazing. And the vegan ice cream is actually going mainstream now. Something like Nadamu. Nadamu, really delicious. It's stores like Albertsons and Gelson. So it's making it to the conventional supermarkets now. So I think the world is getting to know that dairy is dead. Really, when you come down to it, I mean, ice cream is just another chilling rape story. How can anybody support the consumption of dairy when all dairy is the product of rape, including ice cream? At the rate of how to produce a baby so that she'll produce milk so that it can be frozen and put with sweeteners. Why go for that when you can go for Nadamu? But Coconut Bliss has some really delicious ice cream here, too. So I've had a combination of various vegan ice creams, really, along with not so much here, you know, different seed mixes and nuts, like flax milk. Flax milk, very tasty. The flax milk that I tried here, chia seed. I've had horseradish sauerkraut, very delicious. Coconut, as I mentioned, coconut ice cream, coconut water, coconut chips, Thai coconut curry hummus, the acai, acai sorbet is here, very delicious. I've had pomegranate and soy yogurt. I love that soy yogurt that comes from whole soy, the unsweetened plain. Got that with Ted Nordquist on the show last week or the week before. He's from whole soy. He'll be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo about the challenges of sustaining an organic vegan business. Very interesting interview on the show with him. It's archived at goveganradio.com. You can register now to see Ted and various other amazing speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now. WorldVeganSummit.com. It's coming up so quickly. March 20th. It's almost here. It's March 20th, 21st, 22nd. Starts on the first day of spring, the day for a new beginning in vegan advocacy. And we're throwing out the old, you know, they used to say the meat out was the first day of spring, the day that tired old promotion, meat out from Farm USA, when people were asked to give up meat just for a day. And they're still doing that promotion on the first day of spring. Give up meat just for a day? When we know that the public interprets that to mean, okay, then I'll have dairy and eggs. So what does that mean? And meat out Mondays, which to people mean, okay, I'll have dairy and eggs on Mondays too. So, but out with the old, in with the new, vegan movement starting March 20th at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I will be powered by Well, all of the previous ingredients I mentioned, I had pomegranate, soy yogurt, I mentioned trace minerals. I had hemp bars at the Natural Products Expo, falafel chips and green tea with various kombuchas, apple cider vinegar and cinnamon and blueberry lemonade, French soda, guarana and carbonated kale. Yes, carbonated kale. Can you believe it? And I'm all for it. You know, it's so much better for the world when our sharpest minds are, you know, working on making kale bubble rather than, you know, spending time on creating the next generation of drones, right? Or chemical weapons or whatever those might be. Then again, all of the ingredients that I've put in my body over the last couple of days here may just, I could explode at any time. I may have created the next generation of drones right here or chemical weapons. And for people who are transitioning, who really, you know, it's time. It's time to go vegan. I think that's the point of the World Vegan Summit also, World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's coming up so quickly. You really do have to register now. And various levels, it's just an amazing event where, for example, we're having a pizza party, Friday afternoon. Amy Jean Davis, American Idol favorite, will be singing on Friday afternoon. We have cooking demonstrations every day, and we have speakers, expo speakers upstairs and speakers in the California Ballroom downstairs on Friday. Check out the schedule at worldvegansummit.com. Amazing speakers. I mean, Will Tuttle will be talking on Friday afternoon, and a number of really amazing college professors will be there. Sherry Cole, Michael Dorf, and we will have just an amazing experience talking about vegan businesses. Coming up on today's show, I'll continue my discussion. Kevin Storm coming up. He celebrated his Kunjus program today. He's, what, 12, 13 years old with an animal rights program. Also, Vaidya Priyanka, who will be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo and doing a food demonstration, is coming up today on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Hey, if you can't be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, donate at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We sound probably like we're coming to you today from an iPhone, because we're coming to you today from an iPhone in a dog-friendly motel room in Anaheim, California. I'm here for the Natural Products Expo, and my favorite weekend of the year, we're foodies. We're less concerned with all the heavy issues, and we're just eating up a storm here. And, you know, all this talk about vegan pizza. I think I'm going to have to go over to Vegan Pizza in Garden Grove after today's show. I'm kind of addicted, and we're going to have a vegan pizza party at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And I'm talking to you about some of the vegan cheese that you will experience at the reception there. But we had a half-page ad in this past week's LA Weekly. You might check that out on page 20. And also, by the way, I'm not feeling guilty about going back for more pizza, because on the pizza box from Vegan Pizza here, it said, enjoy your delicious moment. And, you know, are those not words by which to live? Enjoy your delicious moments. The World Vegan Summit and Expo will be providing many delicious moments. If only, you know, we could all have delicious moments that were free of animal ingredients, animal, you know, body parts and their secretions. They would really be delicious. And guilt-free. We'd like to viralize some of the video promos that we have for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We have a wonderful editor, Richard Mason, who has put some amazing videos together. I suggest you go to the Facebook page for, you know, the World Vegan Summit and Expo 2015. I haven't circulated it yet. I'll do that when I get back to Northern California, probably tomorrow night. But go to that page and start getting this around. Check it out. This is the soundtrack from that from the video. Please, viralize this, okay?
The time has come to go vegan, and the time to do it is when the World Vegan Summit and Expo comes to town. The answer is not so-called humane, higher welfare, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. The answer is not cage-free, free-range, organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised, or local animal products. Find the answers for creating a better world at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Meet today's great speakers and thinkers, movers and shakers, university professors, medical professionals, social justice activists.
Why are we eating, wearing, or using animals at all, particularly when we don't have to?
And world-class athletes. A once-in-a-lifetime gathering. Presentations, workshops, social events, live music.
Try your best.
Yeah, I went vegan. Now what you saying?
Film. And the most amazing international cuisine you have ever experienced. 100% vegan, of course. Who would have thought that saving the world would be so much fun, so interesting, and so delicious? As we take meaningful action and remember that it's their planet too, sometimes we behave like we're the only species on Earth. The World Vegan Summit and Expo celebrates life through compassionate advocacy to make the use of animals for food, clothing, experimentation, and entertainment a thing of the past, if there is to be a future.
We have to become vegans, and then we can change the world if we want.
Find the answers for creating a better world at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, March 20th through the 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. Register now at worldvegansummit.com.
Who was that announcer? Sounded familiar. So, yes, please do register. It'll be a great time. You hear all the entertainment there, but we'll be serious about discussing vegan activism, and it just won't be the same without you. So please join us. You can register now at worldvegansummit.com. I've been running around the Expo West, Natural Products Expo in Anaheim this weekend, and I tell you, I feel that Jeanette Murray-Wakelin and Alan Murray have nothing on me. 3 days walking around this convention center feels like running a marathon every day for 366 days, as they did, and about which they will speak at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register, you'll meet them, and you'll try Bernie and Bill's new organic sodas there at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. The website is worldvegansummit.com. GoVeganRadio.com. Well, a week from next Sunday, we will be grooving on a Sunday afternoon after we were grooving on Saturday and Friday also at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We will be grooving at the Marina Del Rey Marriott March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That Friday evening, we do have an amazing reception planned that will include comedy from Mike Kaplan. Hilarious. You may have seen a special on Comedy Central. We're doing a screening of Le Jugement. The big music. Oh, we'll be tasting a variety of cheeses. Miyoko's Creamery, for example. I just saw Miyoko today at the Natural Products Expo, and she apologizes. Originally, she was supposed to be at the Natural Products Expo, but her business has really taken off, so she's not going to be able to be there, but her cheese will be. So she'll be sending us a bunch of her cheese for us to be tasting. I think Follow Your Heart has come out with an excellent provolone. So that's Earth Island, the parent company of Follow Your Heart and vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. The provolone is really delicious. By the way, Earth Island, as we all have evolved, that is now a fully 100% vegan company. We're doing a lot of support for 100% vegan companies at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Also, Parmela has this really great smoked Gouda. I think it's smoked Gouda that I really like. We'll be having that there. We'll be having a wide assortment of vegan cheeses among other wonderful food there. Your green ticket at the World Vegan Summit and Expo gets you access to everything from the Friday afternoon pizza party, Amy Jean Davis, musical presentation, California ballroom speakers, the reception, breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday, breakfast, lunch, and reception, Cesar Chavez birthday party Sunday night. There's just so much going on. Soul Food for Thought Saturday night. Wonderful show with reggae and rap, and we have Donna DeLorean concert. What an amazing 3 days. Kevin Storm, I wish you could be there. Kevin Storm, he's on Kevin Storm's radio program this morning, and Kevin just celebrated today. He had me on for his 100th radio program, and how old are you now, Kevin?
I'll be 14 in April.
You'll be 14 in April. This radio show is older than you are, Kevin. The radio show upon which you are appearing now, and in fact, the socks I'm wearing right now are older than you, come to think of it. So, tell us how your show came to be. Here you are. You're 14. When I was 14, I think I was learning to tie my shoes. Today I'm learning to tie my shoes or to untangle my earbuds, which are, certainly as complicated as tying shoes for me. But how did your radio show come to be, Kevin?
Well, it just kind of happened. One day we kind of went into the studio and we got a tour by the station manager, and he was extremely excited about the idea of having a young kid on the air because he thought it was something that had never been done, because at the time I was 11. So at this point, I still hold the record for youngest radio host ever in New Jersey. So that's a pretty cool title to have. So he seemed really excited about that. And we scheduled a time and a price and the length of how long the show would be at that point. And we were on the next week, and we were supposed to have you on, but we weren't very experienced, so we didn't get the whole time zone difference. So we ended up having you on the following week. So you are our first guest, and we wouldn't have anybody else on for the 100th show.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure being on today, and I congratulate you for that. I hold the record for the most immature radio host. I think I still have that record. So, but what got you to thinking that you could do a radio show about animal rights or being vegan? Like, you just didn't wake up one day at the radio station. What was the thinking behind it? Like, how did you think, like, I could do that? Or what made you want to do it?
Well, the more in-depth version of how it ended up happening was we saw the advertisement on the station manager's car on the highway. So there really wasn't any planning going into it, because if we hadn't have been on that highway at that time, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now, because we wouldn't have seen the ad, because there were no commercials for it on TV or the radio or anything like that, because I didn't even know the channel existed, because I don't listen to AM radio. So what ended up happening, if we hadn't have been at that exact time, at that exact place, I wouldn't have my show today.
Wow, that's amazing. See, fate can happen sometimes when you least expect it. So, and were you aware that anybody else was doing a vegan radio show at that time? Like I am?
I don't remember if I knew of anybody else that was doing a vegan radio show, because at that point I didn't really listen to the radio very much. So to my knowledge at that point, I had no idea that there was even such a thing as a vegan radio show. Like, the thought at that point hadn't even crossed my mind until my mom mentioned doing the show, and we had to talk it over with the station manager what it was going to be about.
Mm-hmm. So where and when are you on now?
I'm on 920 The Voice at 12 noon Eastern time, or Eastern Standard Time, to 1 p.m.
And probably Eastern Daylight Time, too, now that today we sprang forward an hour.
That's true. And for anybody that isn't local to where it's where you can tune it into it on the radio, I have on the TuneIn app, you can download TuneIn and listen to me online on there.
Great.
Which is Kevin really how more people listen to my show. Because I have fans all around the world.
Oh, that's great. So people are listening all around the world. Do you hear from people your age? You're 14 now. Are you hearing from kids?
Well, today you got to be also on the show where I have my first vegan co-host other than my mom, who was a new friend of mine, Sophia. So that's really one of the first vegan kids that we've had on the air. We tried to have somebody else on the air that was around my age, but a little bit younger. And we couldn't find an exact date to have them on. So we try to get more kids on the air. But more or less, our listening group is around the 30 to, like, 50 age. So we want to try to direct it more towards kids, which we were hoping the video game section that we do at the beginning of the show now would kind of help with that, which I think it has a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, that's great. So you're 14. How did you become vegan?
Well, the whole reason I became vegan was the fact that my mom's been vegan about 15 years. So she was vegan for a year before I was born. So what ended up happening was I was raised in a vegan house, but my parents don't live in the same house. So what ended up happening was my dad wasn't vegan and my mom was. So when I would go back and forth between houses, I would have a vegan diet at my mom's house and a non-vegan diet at my dad's house. So it was kind of difficult. But on July 4th, I think 2011, I made the decision to go completely 100% vegan, almost cold turkey. I just said one day when I woke up in the morning, I believe I was at my mom's house, I said, "Mom, I'm done. I'm going vegan."
That is
2012.
Great.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's so great at that young age, and you're quite fortunate to have a mom who is vegan, who is that progressive and knows what's happening. You know, I mean, all parents love their children. You know, we've just been so indoctrinated with what's wrong that, you know, my mother loved me a lot too, but she was feeding me the standard fare that, you know, that really leads to heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. So do you find you're able to convince parents at all that it might be the right thing to do, that they need to take a look at what they're feeding the kids who are your age? I mean, they're actually responsible. You know, it was strange. I ran into a guy the other day, and he was vegan, but he said, "You know, I'm a dad. I have to take my kids to McDonald's." You know, and I said, "But you're supposed to protect them. So if you know that it's unhealthy, that it leads to heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity, why would you do it?" You know, I mean, we can't give in to the kids' pressure that way. But you ever hear from, you know, kids saying, "Oh, my parents don't want me to be vegan. I might like to be vegan, but I don't know."
I have, actually. A friend of mine, John, who I believe was also on the show when we first had you on, I showed him a video, and I showed his brother the same video also, a video called Meet Your Meat, and they both immediately said when the video was over that they wanted to go vegan, but they're in a very strict household most of the time, So their parents immediately said no. And I'm pretty sure at one point John told me that his stepmom said that if he wanted to go vegan, that he wouldn't be eating dinner with them because they were just completely against the idea of going vegan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that indoctrination runs very deep, you know. It, you know, we've been told so much, you know, that milk does the body good, and you know, beef is what's for dinner, and you know, people always say, "Well, where do you get your protein?" They're worried that the kids won't get the animal protein that will eventually give them cancer. It's really sad, you know. But I think that we have to try to wake parents up and say, look, it is your responsibility. Take responsibility and educate yourself. Why does everybody come down with heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes? And also, why do we have climate change? You know, what kind of world, and what kind of world do you want your children to live? If animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, parents have to take responsibility and do something different. But it's really delicious. I mean, what do you like about what are your some of your favorite vegan foods, Kit?
Well, favorite vegan foods, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people have their favorite food is pizza.
I hear the music that tells us it's a break. So stay with me. We'll talk to Kevin Sturma another few minutes on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and please do register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to worldvegansummit.com. It's coming up. Time to buy your tickets. GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and two extraneous Bob Linden pages that are usually maxed out, and nobody can explain why they exist, and why I have to do everything in triplicate, quadruplicate, and whatever the plicate is after that, quintuplicate. So we have the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up. March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's time to get your tickets because it's practically here. The most amazing lineup of speakers, I think, ever coming from all over the world. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Check out the schedule. This is perhaps one of the most important events ever. You know, we keep having those climate conferences that accomplish nothing because all of the environmental groups are influenced by rancher money. This is the only way to save the world, the billions of animals, your children's health, and you just have to be there. Kevin Storm is our guest today. I was on his radio show today. This is his 100th program. Congratulations on that. I was also his first guest many moons ago on that show. And Kevin, you're vegan now for a few years. What are your favorite foods? You're 14 years old, by the way, Kevin Storm, with his radio program. So you were just mentioning what some of your favorite vegan foods are?
Well, one would definitely have to be pizza. And at first, I wouldn't have said pizza, but because at one point, I didn't really like daya cheese. So I'd always have to get it without cheese, and it was always a hassle. But now that a lot more places are accepting daya cheese, it makes it easier to go and get pizza, or you can just ask for it without cheese. But definitely stuff like seitan. I always say that word wrong. I said it as seitan once. But definitely seitan and a lot of the mock meats like Gardein. They have some really good products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, at the Natural Products Expo, I find the mock meats or the vegan meats that I really like from Veggie USA. I mean, they have some
amazing products, VEGEUSA. All of their products are vegan also, and they're quite amazing. They had a ham that I tried that, you know, I mean, anybody who eats bacon or ham these days, and I told you this on the show this morning, Kevin, that any pig who survives today, who survives this epidemic, this virus, this diarrhea epidemic, killing tens of millions of pigs, they've built their immunity by being fed diarrhea. So if you're eating ham, you're eating diarrhea-fed ham. If you're eating bacon, it's diarrhea-fed bacon. Veggie USA makes a vegan product that's not diarrhea-fed. Kevin, how are we going to get you to the World Vegan Summit and Expo? If you can get there, you can have a press pass, which is like a green ticket. You can get into everything, but you're going to have to get your supporters to send your mom or you know, get her registered, but you would be pressed, you know?
That'd be really cool to go, but we don't have the money to go. We already went to L.A., or we already flew to California twice in 1 year last year, and I don't really think we have it to fly again. But if I could make it, I definitely would, because it sounds like an amazing event. And I'm hearing that it'll be the only one.
Yeah, this is important to do, and we don't really have plans on making it an annual. You know, a lot of people are debating. They're saying, well, maybe I'll come to the second annual or I'll come next year. But I'm saying don't count on it. I mean, I don't know that there will be a second one. This is a summit. This is a time when we're trying to get, you know, many people together as possible to really focus our vegan activism and go out in the world and try to help everybody to go vegan as quickly as possible. The amount of energy and money it takes to do this, I don't know. We'll have to see. But as it stands right now, I would say don't expect a second one. Decide to come to this one. And, you know, I don't know. If you have any supporters or whatever, you get a press pass, Kevin. You get in for free to everything. So talk to your supporters now. Let them send you out here. Thanks for being on the show today, Kevin Storm.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. Enjoy your program, Kevin Storm, 14-year-old animal rights program. Coming up on Vaidya Priyanka, who will also be speaking at the World Vegan Summit next time. Greetings and welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, we are live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com, where the program is archived. If you absolutely, positively cannot make it to the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and you still want to support this expensive endeavor, grassroots endeavor, you can make a tax-deductible donation at GoVeganRadio.com and click Donate. But we'd prefer that you attend and come be with us. It's a week from this coming Friday. It starts March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 3 days at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. We hope to see you there. Today, it sounds like I'm coming to you from an iPhone from a dog-friendly motel in Anaheim, California. That's true. I'm at the Natural Products Expo, and a lot of people here are actually excited about getting vendor tables at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Coming up almost on last minute, but we can accommodate you. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Get in touch with us. Vegan products, vegan companies, and when you're at the Expo, and we will be announcing an Expo rate, an Expo price of admission within a couple of days. So that's really coming out. We hope to see you there. When you go to that expo, you might be saying hello to my next guest, Vaidya Priyanka, who will be at a table there with Karen. Vaidya has been a guest on our program in the past. She is from a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers from India. And welcome again to the show, Vaidya. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Bob. Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you back on the program. So, okay, well, first tell us about your interest now in Carib, and you'll be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Vaidya will be speaking, check the schedule at worldvegansummit.com, a number of speaking engagements there, including a food demonstration, and you have interest in Carib.
Well, see, there are a lot of people in this world who are, you know, who crave chocolate. It's but normal. So I thought, you know, I have been doing a lot with my cooking over the past few years on Om Cuisine, and we're on YouTube. We have a really lovely channel, and we upload a couple of videos every single week. And I thought we need to have a replacement, which is vegan, for those of us who have kind of a sweet tooth, but at the same time want to have something which is very good for us. So carob is like this wonderful evergreen flowering shrub. It belongs to the pea family. It's from the Mediterranean area. And we've just made this absolutely wonderful product, and we're going to be showcasing it at your show. And since carob contains gallic acid, it also is extremely beneficial. It's an analgesic, it's anti-allergic, it's antibacterial, antioxidant, antiviral, antiseptic, and it's also very good to lower your cholesterol level in your blood.
Ah, wonderful. So, and so what are your carob treats? What are they?
Well, we're going to have quite a few carob treats, actually. We're going to have these 23-carat gold carob roses, which will be with us. And we're also going to be doing these energy bites, which is like a quick pick-me-up snack, because the regular use of carob, in fact, really helps in preventing lung cancer in people. It also helps in treating and preventing cough and flu and anemia. And it also helps in treating polio in children. And since I realized, see, you know what I feel about dairy in general. Remember, I called it filth on your show.
Yeah, you call dairy filth on my show. And hearing somebody from a 700-year lineage of healers from India calling dairy filth makes sense to me.
Well, but I do truly do believe that. And because of that, we all know that dairy can, in fact, cause osteoporosis. The wonderful thing is that we have noticed that carob actually can help prevent osteoporosis because of its richness in phosphorus and calcium. And it's wonderful. And many times I've heard of this in India with all the chants and the mantras and so forth. A lot of the carob pods were chewed by these singers and the priests to clear the voice and throat. So it is a very, very beneficial thing. And I'm very intrigued by carob as a pod and very intrigued about the Ayurvedic components of it. And I love the marriage that they share in our treats. And I'm so excited to be at your event next week.
Oh, wonderful. We'll be excited to try the carob, and I really look forward to seeing you there, too. So why is dairy filth again? Remind me, why is dairy filth?
Well, why is dairy filth? I think milk in general is meant from the cow to its calf. And I don't really understand where human beings feature in this at all. I mean, human milk is not consumed by animals. So why are we returning a favor that we are not offering?
It makes no sense. That's true. When we're trying to raise, you know, when people are feeding little cats, little kittens that they found or whatever, it's usually not human milk. But why is it so entrenched in India? And how can we turn that around? I'd love for people from the Indian community in Southern California to attend your talks, too, because really, if we continue with cow's milk consumption, it's an environmental disaster. You know, climate change was, is so associated with cows.
Well, it's like this, you know. I completely agree with Dr. Mark Hyman. You know, he often says that when you're trying to take on criticizing milk in America, it's like taking on motherhood, apple pie, or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is that, right? I mean, that's what we are heading against a lot of criticism. See, but the whole idea is that I look at it from a very scientific perspective. I've had issues with the USDA food pyramid for a very long time. And I really think that they create a pyramid which works for the dairy industry. And I don't think it is something that works for human beings. And I think that we really need to be consuming many different types of foods, which are providing us with food-based calcium, as opposed to milk or milk products, which have so much fat in them. And it is impossible. It really works very, very, it's a very difficult thing to manage your calorific intake if in case you're going to be consuming dairy products. And the other thing is, a lot of people who consume milk have plenty of mucus or kapha or kabam in their body. And in the presence of this mucus, it really gives rise to a gamut of very severe illnesses, which also includes cancer. And I really believe that it's like this, right? There are certain things when people say, oh, I just have a little bit of dairy in my diet. I often ask them, can you be a little pregnant? You're either pregnant or you're not, right? So there is not like an occasional vegan. You know, I think being vegan is a very important contribution that we do. And milk does not reduce fractures, right? In fact, if you consume dairy, according to the Nurses Health Study, your risk of fractures will increase by 50%.
Yeah.
And it is true in India, people who consume... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, if people say, well, I just consume a little bit of dairy, like, isn't that easy then to get rid of it? Like, if it's only a little, like, okay, well, then just get rid of it. If it's so little, don't have any, right? I mean, it's like... It's not like you're giving up a lot of something if you say, I just have a little. So if you just have a little, then it should be easy for you to stop entirely. I'm sorry.
No, that is very true. And see, the thing is, I notice what's going on in India. The groups of families and the lineages within India that avoid dairy at all costs have better quality of skin, have better bones, do not have osteoporosis, and they do not have cancer. They have an absolutely long and a beautiful and eventful life. They don't have issues with digestion. And I think that's the way to go. See, I'm a very time-tested type of person. If anything is time-tested and it has worked for, you know, the second most populous country in the world, for a kind of a good group of people, definitely a tangible amount for sure. And then I think it definitely must be something that people should consider. You know, it's very easy to say that Krishna was, you know, as in Lord Krishna, was a butter thief, you know. And I think people try to, you know, create and maybe find answers in their spiritual texts and our mythology, which is not very far from our culture to begin with. But I think it is possible to live with the times with the information that we've been given and understand that lactose intolerance is something that affects 75% of the world's population. They are genetically unable to properly digest milk, and that's it, you know? So
that's not a disease. I will come up with more arguments.
I'm sorry?
Well, lactose intolerance, people treat that like, I have a disease, lactose intolerance, when it's really their natural state to be. You know, we're supposed to be lactose intolerant. We're not babies, and we're not other species, so we shouldn't be tolerant of their food.
That's true. And see, the funny thing is that there's so many of these milk mustache ads, and they keep on telling you all kinds of things, but there is no evidence that dairy is good for your bones or prevents osteoporosis. In fact, the animal protein it contains may help cause bone loss. And this is a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that people who have lots of dairy in their diet always have issues with heart disease. And that is unfortunate, very unfortunate. And in fact, dairy can aggravate irritable bowel syndrome as well.
Yeah, it doesn't do a body good. It does a body in. But the propaganda has worked. I mean, people just assume it's healthy, but they don't really have factual evidence. Where are the really credible studies that say dairy would be healthy? We're talking to Vaidya Priyanka. We have to take a break. We'll have a few more minutes together. What's your website, your YouTube channel? How can people find you or contact you?
Yes, the YouTube channel is Om Cuisine, AUMCUISINE. They can reach us on 315-834-2627. It's no secret.
Vegan Radio, Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and the Bob Linden, two other Bob Linden pages on Facebook, just so that I'm everywhere you look. We hope you'll attend the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Thanks for support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo from Vegetarian House, 100% vegan, organic restaurant, one of the best restaurants you'll ever visit. It's in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street. If you're in the Bay Area, you have an event coming up, whether it's a business event, social event, you're getting married, make sure the food is good and that the vegans like it, okay? So check out Vegetarian House. Vegetarian House caters. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. We're talking today to Vaidya Priyanka, who is of a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers from India. The wisdom that is passed down that comes to us today, and she says, dairy is filth, go vegan. And she will also be making presentations at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, speaking a number of times and doing a cooking demonstration. Check the schedule at worldvegansummit.com. And if people are curious, we say you're an Ayurvedic healer. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it pretty much means that we treat the body as a whole, taking into consideration your five elements which exist in nature, which are also present in your body. And we balance what you're born with, which is your prakriti, and where you live, which is your vikriti. And we balance both your prakriti and your vikriti with dietary changes, supplementation, herbs, and other modalities of healing.
Okay. Was there not a movie based on your life? Or was it a movie about spices? I'm trying to remember. Was it The Spice Queen? Or is there some...
No. I think parts of that movie was loosely based on my life. I do not have a boyfriend who is an architect in San Francisco, who is also a biker. No, I don't. It's called Mistress of Spices, and it's very loosely based on my on what I do with spices and healing and cooking and such things. But I do not talk to spices. Maybe I do on a very subconscious level, but not in a very lyrical note as it is portrayed in the movie.
So what are the spices that you use for what purpose?
Well, I use quite a few interesting spices, Bob, and the reason why I believe just what hypocrites believe. Like, I believe that food is my medicine, that is for sure. And a lot of the spices that I use are basically linked to the specific area that I'm in, the people I'm cooking for, as well as the season that we are in. But a lot of the spices, which I use on a regular basis almost every day, I use turmeric a lot, and we all know about the wonderful benefits of turmeric. I use cumin a lot in my cooking. I like to, use whole spices, but if the recipe warrants a ground spice, I like to grind it as I'm about to use it, so so that it's extremely fragrant, fresh, and is filled with the wonderful properties that has been bestowed upon it by the divine. And I use quite a bit of coriander seeds as well. I do like cardamom in the summer. I do like cinnamon in the winter. And what can I say? These spices do create a lot of beautiful magic on our plates and our bowls and our saucepans. That's one of the reasons why I wanted people to have free access to a proper gluten-free vegan cooking channel with the integrity of authenticity and Ayurveda. And that's the reason I started posting videos on Om Cuisine on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So again, tell us your website and your YouTube channel and how to contact you.
Yes, it's Om Cuisine, AUMCUISINE, Om Cuisine. We are on YouTube with that channel. We update videos every single week. We can be reached on 315-834-2627. That's 315-VEGAN-27. And in addition to that, we also have our Caribs available online on omlifestyle.com, AUMLifestyle.com. And it's made beautifully in a facility in San Diego.
We'll be enjoying we'll enjoy the Caribs and the talks with Saeed Jafrianka at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We're out of time now, so we'll see you.
Wonderful.
We'll see you soon, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. See you there, Vaika.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and the Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And again, if it sounds like I'm coming to you today on an iPhone from a dog-friendly motel room in Anaheim, it's true. I'm at the Natural Products Expo. A lot of people here are now interested in vendor tables. There are lots of purely vegan companies out there. You know, they're getting the message. A lot of great vegan products, and perhaps you'll be trying some at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, at our Expo. And there's a lot of food for thought there, too. Professor Gary Francione leading the way with a number of presentations and grassroots workshops, introduction to the abolitionist approach to animal rights. So much going on at this event, and people are really getting excited about it now. Professor Francione, how are you today?
I'm fine, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. I'm in Anaheim this weekend, and I'm sampling, you know, the combination of everything in my stomach this weekend. I could explode at any moment. I don't think anybody's ever had these ingredients in these quantities, you know. Everything from horseradish sauerkraut to acai sorbet and just everything in between. So much delicious vegan food out in the world. There's no excuse, you know. The vegan ice creams are so incredible. I just don't know why anybody would consume any animal products whatsoever at this point. I mean, there's just no reason.
Well, you know, I too have been celebrating. As a matter of fact, I almost didn't make it tonight because we were at parties all day to celebrate the liberation of the elephants from the Ringling Brothers Circus. Bob, this is historic. Actually, on Friday, I got a blast email from Paul Shapiro. I'm apparently on his email list. I'm not exactly sure why, but. And it came in, and it says this message may be a scam. So I have a smart email program, but in any event,
any message from Paul Shapiro may be a scam. So
well, that's right. A great many of us. Here, this is what it says: a great many of us in the animal movement will always remember where we were yesterday when we found out that the Ringling Brothers Circus announced that it'll end its use of elephants in the circus. This historic announcement reflects a vivid illustration of our society's evolving attitudes about animals and our relationship with them. As Nelson Mandela said, it always seems impossible until it's done. And, you know, I looked at this and I wanted to weep that Nelson Mandela was being invoked to celebrate this idiotic and meaningless gesture by Ringling Brothers. First of all, Paul does not mention that this is going to happen in 3 years. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two.
I always notice that these are always in the distant future when anything can happen and shuts up everybody for a while. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's and in many cases it doesn't happen, or something else comes up and it gets changed, and this I mean, this is actually in most animal welfare reform situations where industry agrees to welfare reforms, it's almost always done in the future, because basically most of these welfare reforms are things that they're going to be doing anyway, and so they're just waiting for existing people who are using whatever is going to be reformed to phase it out, take whatever tax advantages they can get, because they realize the system's in transition, because most of the animal welfare reforms are simply ways of making animal production more efficient. We're going to talk a lot about this at the conference, because I think people really do need to understand, a lot of animal advocates, a lot of people who really are opposed to welfare regulation, don't really understand the economics of animal welfare, and we're going to talk about the economics of animal welfare. But in any event, this is a situation where, you know, they're getting a lot of heat about the elephants because people fetishize elephants. You know, they think that elephants are special because they're supposedly, and they are, I guess, they are cognitively similar to us. Then again, you know, most mammals are, but, you know, but they're really cognitively similar to us. And they, you know, they exhibit behaviors when other elephants die. They exhibit behaviors that we can interpret as grief and things like that. You know, and this is all very interesting, but it really has nothing to do with morality. It has nothing to do with the moral status of elephants. I actually wrote an essay once saying that an elephant may weigh more than a chicken, but not morally. It had a long title. It was catchy. But basically that an elephant may weigh more than a chicken, but not as far as morality is concerned. An elephant and a chicken and a dolphin and a non-human great ape and a human are all equal for the purpose of not being treated as a resource, not being used or treated exclusively as a resource. And so, so people are giving them some heat about elephants, and they've decided that it's just not worth it. And, you know, they're going to take the elephants out of the circus in 3 years, unless, of course, things change. In which, you know, if attitudes change, then they'll keep the elephants in there. But
like gestation crates with Smithfield, right? Only with those, they go, oh, in 10 years we'll do it, and then in 9 years they say, "Oops, too expensive. Sorry, can't do it."
Yeah, and you know, and what's really interesting, I mean, it keeps, as you say, you know, well, we're going to do it in 3 years, so everybody sort of goes away and forgets about it. And actually, what happens is any sort of pressure dissipates because they've now just supposedly capitulated. But first of all, the elephants aren't being freed. I mean, I've been getting these bizarre emails. Why do I oppose the fact that they're freeing the elephants? I don't oppose the fact that they're freeing. They're not freeing the elephants. They're sticking them in some place that Ringling has, where they breed elephants and they do research on elephant diseases and things like that. And so, what, you know, they're not going to be exploited in the circus anymore. They're going to be exploited for whatever purpose that, you know, they're going to be exploited for breeding. You know, and I'm sure that they, I mean, you know, they'll use these animals for breeding. They'll be stocking zoos and things like that. And so it's not that these animals are, like, you know, being, you know, put on a boat and sent back to Africa or India or wherever, you know, they might want to be. They're being, you know, they're going to be kept captives in a different situation and exploited in a different situation. So they're not freeing the elephants. That's point number one. Point number two is, all right, so they've gotten rid of elephants, but they're continuing to add Animal X to the circus. They've just recently added something, I'm not exactly sure what it is, a Mongolian camel stunt driver, you know, some sort of stunt act involving camels. And they're continuing to use lions and tigers and horses and goats and dogs and whatever, but they're adding Animal X. So they're getting rid of, you know, they're going to eliminate elephants as the sort of the large animal trick, and they're just going to substitute camels as for the large animal trick. So I mean, you know, and I guess, you know, we tend to denigrate camels. We think that they have nasty you know, dispositions, and they spit and things like that. They're not animals that people feel very warmly about. And a lot of people in the West sort of associate them with Arabs, and, you know, they have all sorts of some racist stereotypes and ethnocentric stereotypes. So they, you know, so these are like, these are not favored animals. And as a matter of fact, they're animals that are not favored for a variety of reasons, both for stereotype and in terms of political disfavor. So, you know, so who's going to care? You know, so it's like, all right, the elephants are in great shape, but, you know, who cares about the camels? And the answer is, yeah, right. let's see if a camel campaign starts up. I mean, you know, it's silly. But what's really silly, Bob, is this campaign, a number of animal advocates have been saying, this is historic. We've been fighting this for 35 years. Well, exactly. I mean, they've spent how many millions of dollars and had how many campaigns for 35 years to get elephants out of the Ringling Brothers Circus? Okay? So, like, is this what you get after 35 years? You get them sent off to a breeding farm? And, you know, and camels come in to do tricks. I mean, this is the victory that everyone is excited about. You know, and it really is. It's appalling to me. It really is appalling. If you think about, if we took all that money just on the elephant campaign, including the how many millions of dollars that HSUS and some other organizations had to pay as a result of a lawsuit that Ringling won. Are you familiar with that, Bob?
Yes.
There was a lawsuit.
$25 million or something.
It was like 25. It was quite a hefty sum of money. I think it was like $25 million.
It was donor money too. Although Wayne Pacelli seemed to want to deny that, but the donations did go to those millions of dollars to Ringling Brothers from HSUS. I remember.
Was. I'm just looking to see what the amount was. I've got the article here. $25 million. Okay.
Of donor money.
$25 million. So if you take all of that money that HSUS and ASPCA, I think the ASPCA was also, I don't remember, HSUS and whoever else was involved.
Funds for Animals paid separately or something. Related to Funds for Animals.
Yeah, I mean, $25 million that they paid, plus all of the money that they've paid for over the years for the campaign for 35 years. Take that money, put it into creative, nonviolent vegan advocacy over that 35 years. You know what? You'd have thousands more vegans. And you know what? Vegans don't go to circuses. So you know, not ones that use animals. And so I think that, you know, this is just ridiculous. It's appalling. I mean, it really is appalling. And for animal people to call this a victory, I mean, I understand for business purposes why they call it a victory, because they're fundraising off. They're going to fundraise off, but this is like they've been fundraising off of those poor elephants for 35 years. But
We need to take a break. We'll continue the discussion. We need to take a break. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You will see him at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's coming up quickly. Register now, worldvegansummit.com. show is Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio. And please do register now. It's coming up a week from this Friday, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott, the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register at worldvegansummit.com. And we will hear interesting perspectives on these issues. Everybody's celebrating another animal rights victory. I suppose Professor Francione, people will be saying, "Oh, you're spoiling the party for us. We had a victory, but the elephants aren't going off the sanctuaries. It's a breeding facility. All the other animals are still..." Because, you know, immediately my thoughts did go to, well, lions and tigers and camels, and there probably won't be a Free the Camels movement now. Probably not, huh?
It's like, you know, many years ago, when I was teaching at the University of Pennsylvania, we had a big case against Penn, which I was involved with a lot of animal advocates trying to shut down the head injury clinical research lab where they were using, I believe it was macaques that they were using in these really, maybe they were baboons, I just don't remember, but they were using some non-human primate, perhaps several species, in these horrible head injury experiments. And we eventually, in 1985, we succeeded in getting the lab closed down. And it was really quite remarkable. It was the first time, I think, ever that an Ivy League institution was found to have violated the Animal Welfare Act and lost some funding and had a lab closed. It was really quite remarkable. And the lab just started using, as I recall, guinea pigs, and who else? They used guinea pigs, and they were using some other animals. And you know, you couldn't get the animal people excited about that anymore. And so, you know, that's one of the experiences I had when I was a younger person that led me away from these single issue campaigns, because you know, it's just like they're useless, they're worthless. I mean, you know, the fact that
I supported the, you know, the steel leg cold trap campaign. I worked for HSUS as a, you know, volunteer doing that, steel leg cold trap. And then when that seemed to be banned, they started using snares, which were considered as bad as steel leg cold trap. You know, I didn't realize that there'd be consequences. Like, whoa, you know, you gotta keep your eyes open to what the consequences of a victory might be.
Actually, Bob, it was actually worse than that. When they got rid of the leg hold trap in most places, they substituted a padded leg hold trap. They put some rubber around the jaws. And that was the padded leg hold trap. And so people then had it. But you see, on one hand, animal people get really frustrated with these sorts of things. On the other hand, these are exactly what keeps, this is what keeps these organizations in business. So what happens is, you know, they have a campaign and they come to you, Bob, give us money. We've got to stop the, you know, use of the leg hold trap. So you give them money. And then, you know, we've stopped the, you know, the leg hold trap. And then the padded leg hold trap, Bob, give us money. You know, we've got to now fight the padded leg hold trap. It's an endless, endless string of useless campaigns that never end, that never result in any true victory, and do not shift the paradigm. There is one thing that shifts the paradigm, and that is veganism. That shifts the paradigm, because once you go vegan, even if what you do is you adopt a vegan diet, you know, you say, look, I agree, I shouldn't be eating these animal products, then the next time you go buy clothes, you're not going to buy leather, you're not going to buy wool, you're not going to go to circuses, you're not going to patronize forms of, quote, entertainment, end quote, that use animals. So, I mean, veganism shifts the paradigm, and it results in real systematic change in terms of how individuals look at their relationship with non-human animals. And this is what we're going to talk about at the summit. And people, that's an the summit, I'm getting a lot of emails, people saying, you know, I can't come this year, but I'll be there next year. I don't know if there's going to be a next year. It depends on how much strength Bob has, whether he could ever do this again. But people, if you want, you know, this is going to be, you know, to use the word that my friend Paul Shapiro used in connection with this ringling non-liberation of favored animals silliness, historic. The summit that is going to start a week from this Friday is going to be historic, because it's going to be the first time something like this happened where we're getting together consciously to reject the whole regulation paradigm
and to put veganism front and center, not as simply a way of reducing suffering, but as expressing a fundamental tenet of justice.
That okay, it's wrong register now, worldveganssummit.com. Running out of time, register now, worldvegansummit.com. See you there.